Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Robert Farley, who joins us now on WGN Radio as the Deputy Managing Editor at factcheck.org. Let's get a little fact and weed it out from the fiction on this stimulus bill. Hi, Robert. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
What's the biggest misunderstanding you think people have about this stimulus bill?
There's a lot of certainly misunderstanding about some of the components of the bill and whether they're necessary, whether there's, you know, say, blue state bailouts in the bill, whether there's, you know, port projects stuffed into the bill, that kind of thing. And so we've been, you know, fact checking a lot of those kinds of different claims to try and put them in some context.
I saw, I think it was in the New York Times, Senator Marsha Blackburn tweeted recently that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, she said, here's your receipt. We've run the numbers. And then she criticized the stimulus bill for funding the arts and museums and libraries and Pelosi's subway and Planned Parenthood and climate justice. I just want to point out one thing here. The four specific areas of funding that she highlighted add up to 0.03% of the bill. 0.03% of the bill. I don't like some of that stuff in there either, though.
Well, let me add some context here as well. So this subway system serving the San Francisco Bay Area was $112 million for like 5 miles beneath San Jose. That was scrapped. That was scrapped in the House, as was a project in upstate New York, a bridge that went from upstate New York to Ontario, Canada. Both of those projects were scrapped. So they're no longer part of the bill.
Listen, I ride public transportation every day. And if we can do something to make the buses and trains safer, you know, COVID safer, or just keep them on time because ain't nobody paying the bills. No one's riding the trains and buses anymore. So let's keep them running for those of us who do need them. So I don't mind us giving money to trains and buses. That makes perfect sense to me. Should we, is this the time to, in the guise of a COVID relief bill, do rail extensions? Maybe not, I don't mind money going to public transportation.
There's about $28 billion that goes to transit agencies, as you point out, a percentage of which could go to capital improvement projects. But those weren't only in blue states, of course. You know, they're also in red states. But those particular projects, in New York and California, get pointed out for very obvious reasons, as you have the House and Senate leaders who are Democratic leaders in both of those states.
Yeah, Indiana will benefit from some of this, according to other reporting I've seen. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't like any of the pork at all. If it was up to me, I would just take the number of people that need the money, divide that by $1.9 trillion, or multiply that by 18 or 1,400, whatever the number would be, make that your starting point, and then include everything we need to get the schools open and help fight the coronavirus. I'll bet we could do it for less than $1.9
trillion. A couple weeks ago when President Biden had said in a town hall that, left, right and center economists agree that, we can't spend too much. We'd done a fact check then that said, well, wait a minute, there are actually there's a good deal of debate and amongst economists, even in the center left community. Larry Summers, who was Barack Obama's National Economic Council chair, had raised some concerns that it appeared too large. He said it was a concern that it could trigger inflation. And more importantly, he said it could hinder further down the year these public investments in infrastructure that he feels are the nation's highest priority, that it could block that from actually happening. So there's some other economists who thought that perhaps this is so large that it could overheat the economy. Yeah. But to the president's point, there's also economists who think that it's not big enough.
Well, I think it was Ted Cruz who said that only 9% of the bill actually goes to health spending, to fighting the virus. Is that true?
Yeah, I wrote about that last week. So, if you're looking strictly at health spending, about 9% goes there. About $17 billion goes directly to vaccines, but there's also money in there for COVID, what they call containment testing, tracing, that kind of thing. But to claim that the rest of it, he claimed that 91% of it was a partisan wish list of the Democrats. But you got to keep in mind, so there was 10 Republicans who offered an alternative proposal, a $618 billion plan. And it included a lot of the same kinds of things in smaller amounts. For example, the checks, instead of getting $1,400, it was $1,000 to a much smaller group of people. The income cutoffs were much lower.
Yeah,
there was, you know, unemployment benefits, that were extended through June instead of through August. So those were in the plan at a smaller dollar amount.
I don't think that's an insignificant distinction, though. That is, if we gave $1,000 to people making up to $50,000, say.
That was a Republican proposal, yeah.
And I think that kind of makes more sense, right? Somebody making $51,000 isn't getting rich, but $75,000, I think, to a lot of people seems high. And I think evidence of that is the fact that after $80,000, they said you're not going to get anything. So the devil is in those details.
And I think you saw in that Senate negotiations, they had lowered some of the cutoffs for the $1,400, lower than what the House had proposed.
Still significantly higher
than what the Republicans proposed.
Money is going to help schools open up. I presume that's for mitigation systems and things like that.
Yeah, it's $130 billion. It's been obviously a controversial part of the bill. The Republican alternative bill proposed just $20 billion. I say just $20 billion, but in contrast to the $130. And so obviously there's been a good deal of debate about what's the appropriate number there and whether it should be tied to mandating schools to open up or not. That's been, you know, the point of contention on that. But that's still in the bill. $130 billion.
Is the money going disproportionately to blue states and blue cities?
You know, we looked at that. There's money going to red states and blue states. There's $350 billion going to state and local governments. There's been about 1.3 million jobs lost in state and local government jobs. And so there's been some concern from Republicans that the formula didn't just take into consideration population, but also unemployment. And they said, look, you know, some of these Democratic states were quicker to close up and slower to open up. And so that unemployment part of the equation benefits them. But the money's going to both red and blue states. And I should say that when you look at the states that have been hardest hit as far as revenues, it's a mix of red and blue states.
Well, the funny thing, the truth of the matter is, a lot of people live in big cities. They're big cities. So, and those tend to be blue. And that a lot of money is going to go there doesn't mean the system's corrupt. It means that's where the folks are. So I'm going to try and not get too bent out of shape about that fact.
Yeah, and as you know, obviously the larger cities got hit a little harder with some of the COVID. And that was a factor. States that rely on tourism, got hit pretty hard. Other states that have a lot of oil production, got hit pretty hard.
We're out of time. Robert Farley is the deputy managing editor at factcheck.org. Lots of writing about that there, and you can find out more by clicking on their site. Robert, thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate you joining us.
Oh, great. Well, thanks so much for having me.